Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. And I'm in studio today to present to you another proposition, a much needed proposition, a proposition that will once again show and prove why you, the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, need to hightail it out of Rome. The number here for J. Delano Ellis to call is 646-564-9730. 646-564-9730. We have been diligent and we have been consistent and we have been generous in inviting J. Delano Ellis, who happens to be one of the co-founders and who is the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus of the Joint College of African American Bishops. We have been diligent and gracious and generous in inviting him onto this broadcast, and this will make our 86th invitation. It's Proposition 86, and we've given him 86 invitations. Again, the number here is 646-564-9730, and throughout the broadcast, we invite him to come on, so it's more than 86 invitations, but it's been 86 broadcasts with 86 appeals. And I doubt he'll come on because he hasn't come on any of the 85 other times we've invited him to come on. But we're here today to take care of the Lord's business, and as it says in Isaiah 58, verse 1, cry aloud and spare not. And that's what we're doing here with these propositions. The African-American church in America has been hijacked by Rome. She's been hijacked by episcopacy, Romish Anglican episcopacy. When we speak of Romish Anglican episcopacy, we're talking about demonic, satanic episcopacy. And I would love to debate Mr. J. Delano Ellis on this matter, but he won't come on the broadcast. I would like to show him where all these candles that he wants to bring into the church and all of these chants and all of this contemplative prayer and all of these vestments and robes and chains and rings and plumes, that all of this stuff originates in demonic paganism. and how he has brought demonic paganism wholesale into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will cite books for him. I will cite scholars and reputed authors. I will cite real scholars. I will give endless amount of footnotes to prove to this man that he has been hoodwinked, and that by being hoodwinked by Satan, he is a tool of Satan to hoodwink others and to lead others astray. Now, he won't call the broadcast, but we'll call him out. He won't receive and accept our challenges, but we will continue to challenge him. Proposition 86 reads like this, and this is why we have that song by Jason Ballard every broadcast. Come out of her, my people. Come out of Rome. Come out of the apostate church. Come out of the whore of Babylon. Come out of the mother of harlots. Come out from under her tent, her ecumenical tent, which is a stink in the nostrils of God. Come out of her, says the Lord. That's why we play the song. And this is Proposition 86. Like Cain, we're still on this Cain note. We're still dealing with these cluster of propositions in which I show that J. Delano Ellis, the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, mirrors Cain, the first apostate and heretic in history. Well, if you exclude Satan, of course. Satan is the first apostate and heretic in history. But he's the first apostate and heretic among the angelic beings. But if you were to talk about the first apostate and heretic within humanity, it would be Cain. So, Proposition 86 reads, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops is producing a spiritual generation that will not escape God's end time judgment. Again, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, and we know who that is producing. He's producing. He is birthing, if you will. He is producing and birthing a generation, a spiritual generation, that will not escape God's end time judgment. So, here's more of Jason Ballard and his song, Come Out of Her, My People. Filled with his glory. And why are we encouraging people to come out of her? Well, because it was God who told the people to come out. It was God who said it in Revelation 18, verse 4. And we're to preach the word of God. We're to pass on the word of God. And we're to pass it on to those who are in Babylon. Babylon is the Roman Catholic Church. Babylon is the apostate church. And J. Delano Ellis is in bed. He's in bed with the whore of Babylon. Yes, he is. Cain, and like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops is producing a spiritual generation that will not escape God's end time judgment. They won't. And we're going to prove it. Now, I need you to go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. As people are turning to Genesis chapter 4, Mr. Ellis, the number here is 646-564-9730, sir. Could you accommodate us? Could you ingratiate us by calling in? We will have someone looking at the phone to see if you call in, looking at the screen to see if you call in. Has he called in? No, he's not called in. There is no number on the screen. Okay. Let's move along. We got much to say here today. Well, our first scripture to make the case, comes to us from the book of Genesis, starting at verse number 17, all the way down to verse number 24. Now, if you notice, let's read verse 17. And Cain knew his wife. That's how verse 17 starts. And Cain knew his wife. Verse 24 ends this section by saying, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold. So notice, verse 17 begins with the mention of Cain, and verse 24 ends with the mention of Cain. Both 17 and 24 have Cain mentioned in them. That's important because this whole section, verses 17 through 24, all of these verses deal with the Cainites. The Cainites are spelled capital C-A-I-N-I-T-E-S, Cainites. The Cainites, those are the descendants of Cain. And the Cainites were just like Cain. They hated God. They wanted nothing to do with God, nothing. Nothing to do with God. And for the remainder of the next couple of days, I'm going to be showing you how J. Delano Ellis is just like Cain. We got more propositions coming forth. We got more on how J. Delano Ellis mirrors Cain. He's the spitting image of Cain. And in being the spitting image, I argue that he is leading people into the judgment of God, like Cain. So let us begin. Let us begin. And I would like to read this to you. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 17, and we will end this reading at verse 24.
And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mahujal. And Mahujal begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech.
Now notice. Cain begot Enoch. The name Enoch means what? Consecration, initiation, dedication. Now, we've covered this. We don't need to go over this. We saw how J. Delano Ellis elevates consecration, initiation, and dedication, and the kind of consecration and initiation and dedication that he promotes in religious circles is devoid of God. I've made that case already. But here's the case I'm making today. That all of these people who come forth from Cain, all of these people who come forth from the city of Enoch, all these people who are coming forth from J. Delano Ellis and the Joint College of African American Bishops, all of them are in opposition to God. For example, verse 18, and unto Enoch was born Irad. What does Irad mean? It means city of witness. City of witness, but there's no witness of God. It's a godless city. There is a city of witness, but is a witness to man's achievement, to man's godless aspirations. It is a witness of how men don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Irad, city of witness. So notice. Enoch means the city of dedication, consecration, and initiation. And now Irad is born to Enoch, and he's a chip off the old block, for he too means city of witness. But there's no witness of God. There's no mention of God. There's no worship of God. There's no adoration of God. Oh, there's a lot of preaching going on. There's a lot of promotion going on. There's a lot of conferences going on. There's a lot of seminars going on. There's a lot of tutorials going on. There's a lot of magisterium going on, but it's devoid of God. Irad, city of witness, but no mention of the Lord. No retaining of God in our knowledge. We have to memorize how to wear the chain, how long the chain should be, what should be the composition of the chain. We're talking the chain with the pectoral cross. It needs to be 40 inches. Then we need to remember when do we wear the Roman cassock and when should we not wear the Roman cassock. When do we put on the pantyhose? When do we put on the slippers? When do we get the manicures? When? You see, all of this information in J. Delano Ellis's asinine book, The Bishopric, How a Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. This whole book is devoid of God. Totally devoid of God. Engulfed with the doctrines of demons. Irad, city of witness. This little book is testifying, telling people what to do. It's a handbook, but there's no witness of God in this handbook. There's no witness of God. No, there is none. Irad, city of witness. It's like Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't want to talk about God, and if it does talk about God, it bashes God. It presents a deformed God. A wicked God. That's the kind of God that Hollywood would present, if it does at all. But Hollywood refuses to honor God. The educational system in America refuses to honor God. Even the court system, the legal system, wants to take out the Ten Commandments. They want to erase the Ten Commandments. There's a war on prayer. Public schools. You see, we live in a society where everything is anti-God. Let's get rid of God. We don't want to retain God in our knowledge. And this is the same thing going on in the Joint College of African American Bishops. Because think about this for a minute, dear saints. Think about this. If all of these people are men and women of God, and they're multiplying like cockroaches, as J. Delano Ellis has said for himself, And the witness is true. They're multiplying like cockroaches. He talks about all of these new elevations and consecrations going on every month, and he says, for what? Exactly. My same question, for what? So we can buy more cockroach spray? That's why we have these cockroaches multiplying? so we can have something to do? Like if we have nothing else better to do than to buy cockroach spray and spray the house of God to get rid of this infestation of Episcopal cockroaches? Well, think about it. Think about it in the black community. In the black community, in the black church, these bishops are multiplying. But guess what? The black community isn't getting any better. It's getting worse. Think about the crime in the black. Think about it. If we had all these bishops that were doing all this wonderful work, that were preaching God and preaching revival and bringing restoration and bringing reform, you would think the black community would be better, but it's sinking. The black community's mired in poverty, in violence. With all of these bishops multiplying, with all of these super individuals, they're super individuals. I mean, you can't even hug them. You gotta wait for them to extend their hand so you can kiss their ring. I mean, you have to put out the red carpet because they can't walk on concrete. Their shoes cannot touch the dirty concrete. You gotta roll out the Episcopal carpet. These are super beings. These are super individuals with superpowers. That's what they tell us. They're bishops. And you would think if we had these, as Jay Delano Ellis says, and let me, this is amazing. Let me read this to you. Let me read this to you. It says, in the beginning, the need. This is out of chapter 1. One late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated. That means there's been a multiplication. There's been growth for the proliferated episcopacy within the African American Pentecostal community. See, you see, there's been a proliferation, there's been an explosion, if you will. There's been a multiplication, if you will, of people claiming to be bishops. This was back in 1994, and if you think there was a proliferation then, look at the church today. They're everywhere, like I said, like cockroaches. So, these people are multiplying, but there's no witness of God and there's no power of God. Why? Because the black community is even in a worse state. You know, when Jesus comes into a community, he changes the community. The community improves. I mean, that's what we saw. As soon as the Reformation came, all of those countries that broke away from Rome, all of those countries that broke away from Rome entered the Enlightenment period, entered the period of prosperity and knowledge, because Rome had people in the Dark Ages. Rome had people living in poverty. Rome had people under violence. But as soon as the Protestant Reformation came, there was a change in Europe. Europe experienced a revival of learning. They came out of the Dark Ages into the Enlightenment period, because that's what God does. He enlightens the mind. The Bible is the light of the world. The scriptures. The psalmist said, "With what shall a man, what shall a young man view his path?" Well, with the light of the word. You look at the black community with all of these cockroach bishops multiplying. The black community is being flushed down the toilet. They have a witness, and you hit them. Can I get a witness? Can I mean, each church, every Sunday, the preacher, the bishop up there in the pulpit, can I get a witness? Can I get an IRAD? Can I get an IRAD? Each church is a city of witness. But it's a witness of self-glorification, self-enthronement, self-aggrandizement. There's no mention of God, no mention of Christ, no mention of the Holy Ghost. Should it surprise us that Enoch, who follows in his father's stead, Enoch, who is as selfish as his father, Cain, would have a son and call him City of Witness? But as a witness, it is a witness to man's depravity. Irad. And who did Irad begat? He begat Mehujael. Mehujael. And what does Mehujael mean? What does it mean? Well, according to the Hebrew dictionaries, this is what Mehujael means. And if you notice, it has an E-L ending. E-L, E-L ending, E-L. And that E-L ending means that it is a compound noun, and the ending has to do with God. And whenever you see God mentioned as E-L, like Elohim, Elohim, E-L, E-L, in the E-L name of God, El, when we refer to God as El, when that name of God appears in Scripture, it means the strong one, the strong one. So Mehujael means destroyed by the strong one, destroyed by God. In other words, now, Arad sees that God has risen up in opposition to his city of witness and to his father's city of dedication, which is dedicated to evil, and there's a witness of no God. He sees in his son God standing up and destroying. We are being destroyed. We are being attacked. We are under attack by the strong one. The strong one has declared war on us. That's what Irad said when he named his son. When he named his son, he named him because there must have been some indication that God had risen up in opposition, the same way God rose up at the Tower of Babel. You know, when they were building the Tower of Babel, God came down and fought them, fought Nimrod, fought the builders, confound the languages. Well, Irad is testifying to the fact, in naming his son, we have been beaten down by God. God has opposed us. We have been smitten. And more than smitten, we have been destroyed by God. The strong one has shown up. And it, now there's no historical reference to it, but it's inferred by the name. So that tells you God wasn't with them. God was against them. Now, Mehujael, he begot Methusael. Methusael. And what does Methusael mean? Well, again, you can see the E-L ending, which means it has God. And this means, they who are of God shall die. They who are of God shall die. They who belong to the strong one shall die. They who are in league with the strong one. In other words, God's people shall die. We can't beat up on God. We can't fight with God. Remember that Broadway play not too many years ago? My hands ain't that long to fight with God. There was a Broadway play by some kind of title. It was My Hands Are Too Short to Fight with God or something like that. Well, you got that right. Nobody can put a whooping on God. So how do you get God's attention? Well, you attack his people. You attack the people of El. You attack the worshipers of El. God smote us. We can't beat him up, but we'll beat up his people. Well, it's reminiscent. It's pointing back to the same strategy that Cain had. When he was rejected of God, when God said, I don't receive your offering, Cain got mad. He said, God's against me. And God said, well, if you do right, won't you be accepted? So what did Cain do in his anger? In his anger and full of the devil, what did Cain do? He took his brother Abel out into the field and cut his throat. You see, if we can't do something against God, we'll do something to his people. You see, in Revelation 12, the devil is seen as the deceiver. In Revelation 12, he's called the deceiver, the old serpent. And it is the old serpent in Revelation 12 that attacks the church. And he attacks the church with a flood of deception, in hopes that this great delusion that he is sending forth, because the devil also has his great delusion, God will send them strong delusion, but Satan also has his delusion, his doctrines of demons. And out of his mouth came forth a flood. Satan's attempt to wipe the church off the face of the earth by spewing this flood out of his mouth. Well, that's what Satan tried to do when Cain built a city and called it Enoch. Here we have a new city, the city of Enoch. We're going to do dedications here. We're going to do consecrations here. We're going to do initiations here. But then Irad took it to the next level. Irad says, we're going to preach a different gospel. We're going to have a different witness. We're going to have a different doctrine. And with this new city of dedication and this new city of initiation and this new city of dedication, we will tie to it a godless witness, and in hopes that we can wipe God off the memory of man. So then God does what? God fights back. And that is memorialized. That is inscribed in history when Irad says, God has fought us back. Therefore, I have named my son Mehujael. God has hit us, and he's hit us hard. So much so that we've been destroyed of God. Our plans have been destroyed. Our progress has been brought to a halt. So then Mehujael, who was hit by God, his generation was hit by God, they raise up another generation called Methusael, and that Methusael means one who fights and puts a hurting on those who worship the Lord. Now, it's interesting to note that in Revelation 12, After the serpent is foiled, after the serpent cannot achieve his aim of carrying off the woman by means of the heresy, the floodwaters, Satan is frustrated, and so now from serpent mode, he goes into dragon mode, and he goes out to make war against the remnant, against the seed of the woman. Well, that's the name Methusael. Those who worship El, those who worship the Lord, those who worship the strong one, we shall strike them. We shall shed their blood. And then Methusael gave birth to Lamech. And Lamech means the one who overthrows. This is the general we've been waiting for. This is the one who will tip the tide of history. This is the one who will tip the war. This is the one who's going to put us over the top. Lamech, for his name means he overthrows. He'll overthrow God. He'll overthrow the purposes of God. Lamech is a type of Antichrist, dear saints. I would argue that he's a type of antichrist. You see, he's the one who's going to tip the scales. He's the one that the ungodly world is waiting for to give them the victory over God. He's the one that they're putting all their hopes in, that he will overthrow God and bring godlessness into this entire world. There are people who can't wait for the end time Lamech to show up. They can't wait for the end time Lamech to show up. For he's the one who'll overthrow. He's the one who will bring God down. He's the one who will defeat God. There's been a fight in there. God's been slugging and we've been slugging God back. But in Lamech we have the hope. You see, this is all prophetic. It's all prophetic, dear saints. There's a war being waged. A war being waged. Now, remember, these are all of the descendants of Cain. And I argue that J. Delano Ellis mirrors Cain, and that he's done everything he's done. He's established a joint college of bishops. He is bringing forth spiritual children, and these spiritual children will outlive Cain and ultimately bring forth Lamech. They will bring forth the Lamech, that entity, that antichrist. They'll set the stage. They're getting everything ready right now. Enoch is getting things ready for Irad, and Irad is getting things ready for Mahujael, and Mahujael is getting things ready for Methusael, and Methusael is getting things ready for Lamech. In verse 24 it says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. In other words, Lamech makes Cain look like nothing. If you think Cain was wicked, if you think Cain was godless, if you thought Cain was violence, Lamech was coming down the pike. Lamech will make Cain look like a preschooler. That's how wicked Lamech is. Let's listen to Genesis chapter 4. Let's listen to Genesis chapter 4. Verse, starting at verse number 19.
And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives Ada and Zillah,
hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold.
Well, I don't want to touch these other verses, because the other parts of this verses, which we just heard, but I won't touch, belong to the up-and-coming proposition. So you better fasten your seatbelt, because there's more revelation coming out of these verses for the Proposition 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95. There are more propositions coming, and they all come out of Genesis chapter 4, dealing with Lamech or Lamech. So we are on our way, my dear brothers and sisters. Now, going back to proposition number 86, it reads, Like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops is producing a spiritual generation that will not escape God's end time judgment. Now, why do I say that? Well, because if you just stop at Genesis 4:24, it leaves Lamech on a high note. But if you continue to read through chapter 5, through chapter 6, and you arrive at chapter 7, if you arrive at chapter 7 of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 21, it doesn't end well for Lamech. doesn't end well for his descendants. It doesn't end well for the one that everyone had put their hopes on that he would overthrow God. It doesn't end well for him and for his offspring, his spiritual offspring. It ends awful because they were drowned in the flood. For it reads, and this speaks of Lamech and all his descendants. It says in Genesis 7:21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and every man. You see, what Cain started back in Genesis chapter 4, and what Lamech took to the next level, that culminated in a global rebellion against God, a one world religion. That's the one world religion in the antediluvian world. Before the flood, Cain sowing that seed of establishing the city of Enoch, and later on bringing forth a man like Lamech, and Lamech doing his thing and turning the world against God. It all came to an end in Genesis chapter 7, verse 21. He who was supposed to overthrow God and God's eternal purposes was overthrown by God. And all, verse 22, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was on the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground. Both man and cattle and creeping thing and the fowls of the heaven. And they were all destroyed from the earth except Noah. Only Noah remained alive. And those who were in the ark with him remained alive. Only those who were in Christ, only because Christ is the ark of salvation. Only those who are in Christ, that little remnant, Noah and his family, the remnant, the end time church, that little remnant was saved, but everyone else caught up in that one world religion. All those who were following Antichrist, Lamech, all those were destroyed. Those who wanted to overthrow God were overthrown in the end. Let us turn to Matthew 23. The number here, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, if you want to talk, the number here is 646-564-9730. In Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking to the people in his day that best represent J. Delano Ellis, and the Joint College of Bishops. In Matthew 23:15, Jesus says, "Woe unto you." Now, we read out of Jude 11. Jude 11 begins to say, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Here's another woe. This one is pronounced by Jesus. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you compass sea and land." In other words, you travel. J. Delano Ellis is constantly traveling, constantly going to and fro like the devil in the book of Job, constantly going from one state to another state, from one country to another, doing what? Consecrating, dedicating, and initiating bishops. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, to make one who looks like you. And when you make him, when you consecrate him, when you ordain him, when you initiate him, you make him a twofold more child of hell than yourselves." You see, Cain was bad, but Lamech was worse. A twofold son of the devil was Lamech. Cain was wicked. Cain was of the evil one. But you got to admit, Cain was outdone by Lamech. As I said before, Lamech made Cain look like a preschooler when it came to evil and knowing the depths of Satan. So here Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. We can insert here, woe unto you, metropolitan archbishop, and you members of the Joint College, you are hypocrites, for you travel sea and land, you compass sea and land. You go to and fro to make one bishop, to make one proselyte, to make one follower. And when he is made, when you ordain him, when you consecrate him, when you elevate him, when you put all the vestments on him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. You see, evil never stays on the same level. Evil grows. Evil grows. And this thing called the Joint College of African American Bishops, if you think it's evil now, if you think it's evil now, wait until it comes under the control of the Antichrist. It'll be evil then. It'll be evil then. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, Peter warns us and says, Peter the Apostle, whom J. Delano Ellis and his bunch of bogarty bishops, they claim to be a successor of Peter. Notice what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will bring in damnable heresies, damnable teachings, teachings that will damn their soul and the souls of all those who accept those teachings. They even deny the Lord that bought them, that shed his blood for them. And they will bring upon themselves swift destruction. And that reminds me of the people in Noah's day when God closed the door on Noah and his family. When God shut the door of the ark, God brought swift destruction on the inhabitants of the earth, the descendants of Lamech. And many, says Peter, many shall follow their pernicious ways, and by reason of the way of truth it shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, hypocritical words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not, which means God's wrath is racing towards them. They will suffer swift destruction. We read in Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, John, saying unto me, come hither, come, John, come, let me show you what, the glory of the great whore? John, can I show you the glory? Can I show you the majesty of the great? No, let me show you the judgment of the... You see, the first time the great whore is mentioned, she's connected to judgment. She is destined for judgment. She is scheduled for judgment. She is scheduled for the gallows. Come hither, John. I will show you the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon the many waters. Come, John, I'll show. And who is this whore? Who is this whore? Well, verse 4 says, she's arrayed in purple and in scarlet, the same colors as the Joint College of African American Bishops. And she's decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, just like the Joint College of African American Bishops, having a golden cup in her hands full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, just like the Joint College of African American Bishops. And upon her forehead, the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, just like the Joint College of African American Bishops. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the martyrs of Jesus Christ. That's yet to come. That's yet to come. Because like Methusael, remember the name Methusael? Methusael means we shall strike those who worship El. This is coming. The woman will be drunk with the blood of the saints. She will be intoxicated with the blood of the saints. Not yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And then finally, Revelation 18, verse 4. in which our theme and opening song is based on. I heard another voice out of heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people. Be not partaker of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Verse 8. "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord." You see, strong, the strong one. Who's the strong one? El. El is the strong. "For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." You see, you're part of the joint college. You're hanging out with Cain. You're hanging out in the city of Enoch. You're about to be part of the city of Irad. But as you keep enjoying yourselves, as the people did in the days of Noah, where they were drinking and eating and giving themselves in marriage and buying and selling, swift destruction shall come upon you. "Come out of her, my people," says the Lord. Again, proposition number 86, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops is producing a spiritual generation that will not escape God's end time judgment. I gave you the scriptures. God judged them with the flood, and now he'll judge them with fire. Lamech's generation and his people, his offspring, his wicked offspring, were judged with water by means of the flood. And God will judge J. Delano Ellis and his offspring with fire. It's the same story, my brothers and sisters. The same. They're not going to be able to overthrow God. Rome, the apostate church who has joined forces with the Antichrist, she won't be able to overthrow God. It's a pipe dream. We win in the end. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will show up in the end. And he will set his army in array against the forces of Antichrist, and they shall be defeated. My brothers and sisters, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Now here's J. Delano Ellis. And as I close this particular broadcast, because he never called in, he never called the number 646-564-9730. He never called in. Here is J. Delano Ellis telling you that he's simply a roadmap. Simply a roadmap. Simply a roadmap. And I remind you what Jude 11 says. I remind you. As I play the words of J. Delano Ellis, the words that come out of his mouth, let me remind you what Jude says. And Jude, verse 11 says, "Woe unto them. Woe unto you, J. Delano Ellis. And woe unto all those who follow you blindly, for they have gone in the way of Cain." The way of Cain is the way of evil. The way of Cain is the way of heresy. The way of Cain is the way of rebellion. And the way of Cain will end in destruction. Here is J. Delano Ellis telling you he's a roadmap. He's a roadmap. "Woe unto them who have gone the way of Cain, who have used Cain and his mirror-like image, J. Delano Ellis, as a roadmap."
For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority. That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law.
His office is intended to be a roadmap, which means he's leading you into Rome. He's leading you into the very place that God is telling people to get out of. I end there. Now, tomorrow, Sister Marie will be in studio, and she has a fantastic broadcast for us tomorrow. Sister Marie has a phenomenal broadcast for us tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. in her apologetics broadcast that comes to us every Friday. And if you missed her Tuesday broadcast, the End Time News Report, I want to encourage you to listen to that. Listen to that broadcast. But my brothers and sisters, I will be back on Saturday with Proposition number 87, and we're going to stay right in here in Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to continue to look at Cain, because J. Delano Ellis mirrors Cain. And I want to prove it to you. And I want to prove it to you that you're being led to the slaughter. Goats, not sheep, but goats being led to the slaughter. Love you in Jesus. Come out of her, my people, and seek the Lord. God bless.
For still our ancient foe does seek to